Welcome to the Savvy Scribe podcast. I am so glad you're here. Before we start the show, if you're interested, we have a free Facebook group called Savvy Nurse Writer Community. I appreciate you following and listening to me today, and I would love if you would subscribe via iTunes. And if you love our show, can I ask you for a review? Select ratings and reviews and write a review. It's that simple. I would love to read your review, and it helps other nurses like you find our podcast. Thanks so much.
Hi, everybody, and thanks for tuning into these kind of archived episodes now. These are my older episodes when I had a partnership going on with Janet and Carol, and they are amazing. There was no hard feelings when we parted ways, but I do want to let you know that you're going to hear a couple things in here. The Healthcare Marketing Network is what we started together, but we have now transitioned that into the Savvy Scribe. So if you go to the savvyscribepodcast.com, you will see all these podcast episodes and the blog to give you all sorts of show notes and the valuable tips that you hear on the show today. So ignore everything you hear about Healthcare Marketing Network and come on, join us at the savvyscribepodcast.com. Thanks so much and enjoy this show.
Welcome to The Savvy Scribe, a podcast for freelance healthcare and medical writers and creatives who want to grow their businesses. Your hosts, Carol Bush and Janine Kelbach, will cover a wide range of topics on writing, sales, and managing your freelance practice. Podcast episodes will feature interviews, inspiration, laughter, and important information to help healthcare freelance writers. The Savvy Scribe is a production of the Healthcare Marketing Network. Now, let's join the conversation.
So welcome to the Savvy Scribe podcast. Today, I'm doing a solo gig because Janine, the productivity queen, is working hard, or she's working out, or working one of her 10 jobs. I'm very excited to welcome our good friend, Tony FarmD on Twitter, also known as in real life, Tony Guerra, to the show. And Tony is not only a nurse's best friend, okay, oncology nurse's best friend is the pharmacist, speaking from my clinical background. But he is also the host of the Pharmacy Leaders podcast, where he features interviews and advice on building a professional brand and purposeful second income, which is why one of the things I really love about him, he talks about profit and money and managing finances, which is the number one important thing that we want to do as entrepreneurs and CEOs of our own business. So Tony is also a writer and author of several books, and he has a Marvy YouTube following as well. So welcome to the show, Tony.
Thanks for having me.
Well, we're excited that you're here. And also, we share a love of the Midwest. You know, in the Healthcare Marketing Network, I was talking with one of our new members yesterday, who's also in Des Moines, Iowa, as a matter of fact.
Cool.
And that we have a lot of people on the East Coast and West Coast, but not a ton of Midwesterners. So you're in Iowa and I'm in Kansas.
Well, I'm a Washingtonian. That's where I was born. So I'm from Washington, D.C. But if you marry a Midwesterner, you end up in the Midwest.
Yes. That's exactly right. Well, Tony, we'd love to hear in our community, everyone loves to hear the story of what prompted you as a healthcare professional to begin this journey of creativity, whether you're a writer or a content creator. So I'd love to hear just in the beginning, tell us about what you do and a little bit about your writing or creativity journey.
My full-time job is a teacher as a chemistry and pharmacology in college. I teach at a community college. And part of what I do is also teach pharmacology to students who are looking to become nurses. And I didn't know that pharmacology was such a struggle. And I kind of understood why a little bit later, in that some nursing curricula have chemistry before pharmacology and some don't. So it's kind of like putting the cart before the horse if you take pharmacology that way. And my first kind of big hit was writing a book for that group that, solved the problem of, I don't have chemistry, I want to succeed in pharmacology, here's a book you can listen to over the weekend. And just anecdotally, since I've been doing this for almost five years, those that have listened to the book had 11% higher grade in their pharmacology class, wherever they went to school, than if they didn't listen to the book beforehand. So to succeed in pharmacology, you have to have kind of taken pharmacology. So it was just really successful. But I also understand your tribe likes to hear about failures too. So you just let me know what you want me to start with, and I'll start there.
Well, I want to talk about, I think that we'll save the specific failure at the end, but was your first audiobook, and they are all audiobooks, correct?
I've made 14 audiobooks. Yeah. Some are successes, some are failures, but you want to stick with the 80-20 rule with your writing. And so I think many people beat themselves up when they hear this writing didn't sell or something like that. But 20% of your writing will generate 80% of your money.
Okay, perfect. So in the book, the content creation, and you focused on the production through Audible, is that correct?
Yeah, they just hit us pretty hard with a change in reimbursement. So I'll lose about $25,000 every year coming up. But I still sell about 10,000 books a year in all three forms. So still making about five or six a month. But that's all passive income. And it's more because I have 3 7-year-old daughters. And besides life insurance and those things, it's nice to know that royalties will support my family if anything happens to me.
That's perfect. And it sounds like your family is a big why, but I understand and part of the reason that you started the Pharmacy Leaders podcast is also because as you are connecting with people and you are a thought leader and a social media influencer in the pharmacy space, there is a very particular challenge for pharmacy students that they graduate having a lot of debt.
Oh, yeah. It's really the average is now 165, I think, for the average student, closer to 200 for the privates, 140 for the publics. And we're in a real, real tough job market now for pharmacists, just as physicians were actually in a tough job market in the late 80s. I don't think you're old enough to remember that, but
I am.
Okay. But it also, we can talk a little bit about this, but I think the one thing that I buy with my money is I have two, this is maybe pathologic, but I have 2 years of income in the bank. So my,
wonderful.
My nest egg is, it's not a nest egg really. It's just that provides peace of mind for me and for my family.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's perfect as the partner. My husband works for Spirit Aerosystems, which is the old commercial Boeing, and he okay. builds the tools who build the planes. Okay. And so especially with the recent issues related to the MAX 80, I'm very cognizant of the whole pathological need to put a lot in the bank for savings to weather all kinds of economic situations and downturns. So I totally, totally understand that. So a little bit about as you were writing the books for the folks who now are in our tribe are freelance writers. So they're writing for other people. What strategies really helped you get started in focusing on developing the passive income, and what tools helped you?
Well, I think that your guys' job is a lot harder than mine. I write a book, publish it, and hope that it brings a return. And most of the time it does, but sometimes it doesn't. But you guys have to continue to pitch. And I think that it's good to have both, where you're actively working as a writer, but then also have that passive income from larger books. But then the next question is always, well, what do I write about? Mm-hmm. And what's going to happen is that as you write, you're going to get feedback on some of those articles and you're going to find needs. So while you're writing that article for somebody else, maybe getting paid not a ton for that specific article, they come back to you and say, oh my gosh, you would not believe how many people wanted to hear about that. And I'll give you an example in the pharmacy space where there's the pharmacist moms group, and I don't know if there's a nurses moms group, but that group is at now 23,000 pharmacists in Facebook. And I'm not allowed in. You've eliminated half of us. So there's 300,000 pharmacists, I think, total. So out of 150,000, that means they're getting close to having 20% of the entire group of pharmacists in that one space. And so if you are one of those Susie Solomon was the one that started it. But when your tribe gets that big, you've definitely hit a chord. So I think one of the biggest mistakes that I see is you're going to try to get education and like a degree or a writing degree or things like that for something that you might need, instead of doing what you should be doing, which is hanging out with you, Janine, Janet, getting the skills that you need to do the project you're trying to do right now. So I think that the way that you do it is a lot better. So, but to answer the question briefly, really what someone wants to do as a writer is make sure that they're tracking the results, even if they don't have the direct numbers. Give them a call back, give an email back. Hey, I just wanted to see how that article did. Did it do well? Did it not? And then that's when you can find out what your bigger projects should be on, is those things that really hit home in some of the smaller things that you've written.
So I really love that you're identifying, you know, really stressing that, identifying the need. And for those in our tribe who maybe create like content related to course creation, or are those who are in the education space, whether they are, you know, nurses, physicians, social workers, whomever, if they're planning any educational event, they're very familiar with, they have to do a needs assessment about your audience before you plan the event. So same thing with the books. So what was the synergy between the books and the Pharmacy Leaders podcast? So talk a little bit about, was it the book first and the podcast, or which was chicken and the egg?
Oh, okay. Well, they're actually two different brands and they're completely separate.
Okay.
They don't actually fit at all. And really, if you want to, I kind of put the cart ahead of the horse here with the Pharmacy Leaders podcast, which is you really want to get your own gig going, but it feels a lot better to give. So the Pharmacy Leaders podcast, what I did with it was I created a revenue model that doesn't rely on advertising. So at the end of every podcast episode, you'll hear an advertisement for one of my books. So last year I had 205,000 downloads, I think, on that podcast.
Wow.
And it comes from giving status to people. When you're doing a podcast or when you're writing something, what you're really providing is status. So just like you wear, you would wear Kansas State, I would wear Iowa State. We gain status from our alma maters. When you podcast and you interview someone, you give them status. And then all of a sudden they come to you to become your Facebook friend and those things. So instead of trying to create a space where pay attention to me, pay attention to me, pay attention to me, if you pay attention to enough other people, they will pay attention to you. And it was doing, gosh, three episodes a week that created those bigger numbers. But now they know about me, then they care about my books, and then they share my books and those things. So it's really give, ask, receive, which is maybe sometimes the opposite of what we actually try to end up doing in practice, which is, man, I really want people to read my writing. I want people to buy my books. But what you have to do is give status to other people or give free content to other people. And then that's when they'll pay attention to you, just like you guys do with the tribe.
Yes. And actually, that is something that's very important for our tribe to understand about prospecting clients. It's the same thing when you're working in LinkedIn, because, for example, that's actually where predominantly most of our client leads come off of the website and LinkedIn. It's the same thing. Give value. Ask and receive. It's the same thing. So I think that's very, very fascinating about that. So when we're talking a little bit about the power of your community that you've built, your tribe, I don't know that people know this. Tony is a great champion of the Healthcare Marketing Network. And like I said, you know, in the Healthcare Marketing Network, we're all about multidisciplinary approach. Rising tides lifts all boats. And I think how we connected originally was, of course, Janet. She's a great connector. But we had a project about a year ago that was going to require us to onboard about 80 or 90 writers. And the project involved working with a really cool client that was actually internal venture capital that was provided to an executive with the company to do their own pet project. But it was going to require taking PubMed abstracts and translating them into plain language. And so, of course, a lot of the PubMed abstracts have medication adherence, a lot about clinical trials, so things that pharmacists know a ton about. And we needed to onboard a lot of people. And I think Janet reached out to you and said, hey, Tony, would you, you know, put a promo out on your podcast? And OMG
Yeah, that was pretty big.
And in fact, I need to look back and pull the data, but I know we had hundreds of applicants. And we, in fact, so I have a little number scenario, and I do need to pull more numbers because this is a great case study for your tribe, is that with that first part of that project, we paid writers and editors in the Healthcare Marketing Network who qualified, and they had to go through, you know, a process and vetting and a writing, a particular writing test. But we did pay them over $60,000 last year, and over half of them were pharmacy students or pharmacy professionals looking for extra money. So we actually put to work, some of those pharmacy students did not have to work at, you know, Quick Trip for their summer job. They got to be at home working on this project and earning money. I'm very proud and excited about that because it made a lot of difference for some folks.
If you're a writer and you need kind of that group, that comes from the national and state associations. So mm-hmm. I focused on the National Association. I'll be going to the American Pharmacists Association meeting in Seattle this Friday. But their email list is about 46,000. And there are certain things that they want. And one of them is opportunities to work in non-clinical or non-patient care settings. Mm-hmm. And it's not that they don't want to work with patients, but as any nurse, pharmacist, physician knows, there's burnout. And it would just be nice if a little bit of your week is non-patient care. And that's why I love the writing, and I love your writing community, is that that writing community allows you to support a patient care job that maybe is 32 hours instead of 40 or 48 mm-hmm. or even less. And then non-patient care and flexibility to take care of things like my kid has to come home right now because they're sick, or I need a little bit extra money, or it costs about $7,000 to take three children to Harry Potter World in Florida.
It's exactly right.
Whatever it is, this gig economy provides tremendous opportunity, but I think it saves more careers than anything else, in that you're kind of giving back the humanity to the person who would work 60 hours and would burn themselves out and does burn themselves out. And I think that that's a phenomenal thing that your community does, is provide this non-patient care opportunity.
And you know what? I don't think we've focused on that enough, but predominantly why people do join our community is the transition. They are burned out, or they've been laid off, or they're looking for that creativity. They, you know, they want to surround themselves with a community who have an abundance mindset that lift one another up, because unfortunately in healthcare cultures, that's very uncommon. And they also, like you said, have the desire to, you know, make that extra, whether it's take the family on vacation, put, you know, braces on someone, or we are caregivers ourselves of our 80-year-old parents, et cetera.
So the sandwich generation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Take care of your parents and your kids.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So we talked a little bit about how we connected and the power of both of our communities. So here's where we get into the, I think we talked a little bit about that success. You definitely verified through the audiobooks, the Pharmacy Leaders podcast. I know actually your YouTube channel is a huge success, but what are you most proud of in this journey so far? And what were those strategies that our listeners, you know, what's a simple strategy? And it might be a mindset issue. I don't know. What did you use to employ to achieve whatever you're most proud of?
We'll be right back.
You guys, I wrote a book and it's launched and I want you to check it out. Go over to Amazon, look for Savvy Nurse Writer. It'll come up right away, but it's called Savvy Nurse Writer, A Nurse's Blueprint for Starting a Profitable Freelance Health Writing Business. We have lots of reviews, all 5 stars, top new release in the first week it was launched, and I want to share it with the world. So head on over to Amazon.com, search Savvy Nurse Writer, and get your copy today.
Let me take that in 2 parts. So what really gives me joy with the podcast part is to see the parents. So what'll happen is I'll interview one of the students as they're on their 3rd or 4th year of school. And then you see the parent kind of, you just kind of tear up as you see the parent saying, I'm so proud of you and all of that.
Oh,
so
cool.
That's kind of the, you know, gut wrenching heartbreaker, just like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. That parent child connection is there. And it's a very public giving of status to not only the student, but also to the family. And that is huge. And then every once in a while, I get the parent try to friend me on Facebook. So, you know, no marriage proposals or anything like that, but
ooh, that's good. Mindy has you.
So in terms of just kind of a good feeling, those are kind of the successes. Janine didn't talk about being lonely, but Janine talked about the loneliness that comes with writing. And I guess my biggest success is, I want to say there's a group of 10 of us or 15 of us in the social space. And for example, the Your Financial Pharmacist group, I'm going to be at their table at the American Pharmacists Association. So I'll be doing one of their roundtables. I had a real estate background, so I'll be leading some of the students through how to get their first homes. I connected with Brandon Dyson of TLDR Pharmacy, who is an oncology pharmacist.
He's
actually the director of pharmacy down in Texas, and he has TLDRpharmacy.com. And he's a great guy. If you want to interview another pharmacist and that really knows oncology, he teaches pharmacology at Georgetown for their PA program or nurse practitioner program. I can't remember which. But basically, as a guy, we have very few friends. I think the average is like 0.8.
Oh my gosh.
So I don't even think we get to one like good friend. So what I've done is I've created friends through Todd Yuri of the Pharmacy Podcast Network, Brandon Dyson, TLDR, Adam, who is the Fit Pharmacist, the YFP team. There's 3 Tims. And so I basically built this kind of like bro group. And, you know, I'm not allowed in the mom's group. So these are my brothers in social media. And we all make money different ways, completely different ways. I didn't mention Eric Christensen, who's MedEd 101. Then Barker, who's Happy Farm D. So I want to say there's 10 or 15 of us that have kind of have our own like tribe with our own individual work. So I think that this is from my church, but the thing that I'm most proud of is that I made a group within the group.
Yes.
And although you've got the Healthcare Marketing Network, every person in your group should at least have a group of maybe 4 to 15, some smaller group of whatever it is, nonfiction healthcare writers or oncology writers, I don't know, but group. So the second thing I would be proud of is creating a group of fellows in this kind of social media gig economy that I'm working with, but not working against. It's very kind of a unique relationship. But that's the other thing I'm excited about is that I'm not alone, Janine.
And that's huge, because success as an entrepreneur, if you have a tribe and this multi-layered tribe of people. I can't even cite the data, but it's a proven fact that those of us who have tribes of like-minded people continue, because their accountability, success, and persistence, because you know what, 50% or more of businesses fail. So just because people are part of a powerful tribe means you're destined for success at a higher rate than others. So on the opposite of success, here's where I get into, because one of my members of my tribe told me this last week, was like, hey, we love the stories of success, but what about the times people failed? And I like to look at failures as not like, oh, it's the end. They're setbacks, because setbacks are a part of our journey. And just like Janet and I, in our journey of working together at the Healthcare Marketing Network, it didn't happen overnight. We threw a lot of stuff on the wall to see what was going to stick. So in terms of your journey, what things felt like setbacks at first? Is there a story that you could share that a setback that led you to your greatest growth to date? And what was that pivot that you made that turned the setback to something of growth?
I don't know if you're familiar with Entrepreneur on Fire. It's one of the biggest entrepreneurial podcasts. And he's not as nice as you. He starts with the failure.
Oh. And then I'm a nice woman.
That's the first thing. He's like, what was your worst entrepreneurial failure? And then he starts the interview from there. And the biggest failure I had was I had written that Memorizing Pharmacology book, which now sells, I think, 6,000 to 8,000 copies a year. And I thought it was terrible. And I thought no one wanted it because I had put it on Lulu.com, which is one of those sites where, you know, you have the books made and then, you know, I needed them for my classes. And so I thought nobody cared about them. But then once I put it on Amazon, or it went on Amazon, and then I made the audiobook, that's when it took off. So you may not realize that you just put your writing in the wrong place. Mm-hmm. And that was the biggest failure, was that my writing was in the wrong place. Lulu.com is meant for people who need bulk books, and maybe bookstores buy them for their classrooms. But Amazon.com is better than Google, because Amazon has a bunch of people with credit card numbers looking to buy something.
Exactly.
So when you're talking about your writing, you want to get it on Amazon and Audible as quick as you can. I pay for audio talent because I choose not to use my own time to do that. That's mm-hmm. a personal choice, but it's a lot cheaper to record it yourself, and in nonfiction, people want to hear from you. So the biggest failure was putting my writing in the wrong place, calling myself a failure. And many people know that, you know, you've pitched a story to one person and they say, yeah, that's just not for us. And they're just saying, that's just not for us. That's not saying it's bad. It's just not for us. Mm-hmm. And then someone else is like, that's for us. That's what I wanted. And I think the biggest lesson I can give is don't allow a person to say that your writing is a failure. Rather, you've just failed to go to the right place with it.
I love that. That's perfect. I always like to also in client work, when someone says no, they're not saying no to us. They're just saying not right now. Mm-hmm. And it might not be a good fit, and that's okay. Go forth and conquer. But I love that analogy. And I think that's a huge takeaway. A lot of folks in our community, when they're pitching, getting that no feels really personal. You just need to tweak it and get to the right place.
Yep.
I think that's one of the best pieces of advice that our tribe could definitely take to heart. Before we wrap up, I'd love to just showcase a little bit about how can people work or connect with you? And because we're about rising tides lifts all boats, What's something the Healthcare Marketing Network tribe can do for you? Like, do you have a cool thing coming up, or can we give some social love to something you're working on?
The Memorizing Pharmacology book, anyone that knows any nursing students that are studying with pharmacology, if you can share it with them. I make like $1.40 a book, so it's not the money. It's that I know that lives have been changed, because what happens is that if you're spending a bunch of time on something, doesn't mean you're going to get through it, because you just didn't have the right mentoring. And then once you can kind of get that mindset shift, that would just be awesome. Also, I just wanted to say thanks to you guys, because it takes a ton of time to maintain a community. There are those Fridays where nobody responds with their Great Friday or Sunday or whatever it is. And I just appreciate all the hard work that you guys do to help us succeed as writers.
Well, thank you very much. And I agree. I think a great share would be to connect the Memorizing Pharmacology, because the data shows, right? Someone who listens to that book, 11%, they can
score. Their grade will go up 11% in pharmacology if they listen to it before the semester.
I love that. I love that. So also a little bit of fun at the very end, I love to hear what are like three things or one thing? I don't know, what would our tribe be surprised to know about you?
I'm comfortable running marathons. I've got 3 7-year-old daughters, which will one day be 3 17-year-old daughters.
And we're going to pray for you throughout your lifetime.
Yeah. And then I'm a CrossFitter too. That's kind of something that's new in the last 6 months, that just something I love to do. But I think Janine was a gymnast or something like that. So I did my first strict handstand push-up like a week ago. And then my daughters are now competing with me in the living room. So you'll see me at 46 years old doing handstands against my 7-year-old daughter. So
and I think, I think that's awesome. And of course, I love, since we are connected on Facebook and everywhere, I love following how you support your daughters, your strong support, and you're raising strong daughters. As a crazy meemaw with two granddaughters, it's very, very important. So we're,
you're a grandmom?
Yes, I am. I'm 58, dude. I'm a crazy meemaw. There's a hashtag. My family, they call me meemaw, all the kids. Okay. And the oldest dubbed me, she's a crazy meemaw. So now it's a hashtag. And yes, crazy meemaw. I figure if Manny Oliveras can be grampy and, you know, promote unhealthy eating of all the Disney foods, I could probably be crazy meemaw and maybe promote, you know, strong girls. Well, Tony, thank you so much for your time. I can't wait to share the love of everything that you're doing. And also, I know that we'll continue. I know that there'll be other interviews, and we're going to continue to collaborate very strongly with the pharmacy community, because we love our pharmacy freelance partners.
Okay. Well, thanks for having me on. And if you ever need anything, call pharmacy.
Thanks for listening to The Savvy Scribe, a podcast for freelance healthcare and medical writers. For more tips and links mentioned in the podcast, go to healthcaremarketingnetwork.com. And don't forget to join Carol and Janine for future power episodes and great conversations here at The Savvy Scribe.
Today's episode is sponsored by Scrivener. Scrivener is the go-to app for writers of all kinds, used every day by best-selling novelists, screenwriters, nonfiction writers, students, academics, lawyers, journalists, translators, and more. By combining all the tools you need into one convenient app, it provides everything you need to start writing and keep writing. If you go over to literatureandlatte.com and click on products, you will find Scrivener there. And they are offering our listeners a 20% off coupon. So if you use the code SAVVY, S-A-V-V-Y, in your checkout at literatureandlatte.com, click on products, click on Scrivener, and use SAVVY to get your 20% off.
Again, thank you for listening. If you're ready to explore freelance writing as your next PRN job or even full-time, I invite you to check out our Savvy Nurse Writer community on Facebook and visit savvynursewriter.com to help you get started today.